So, Vinny Francois, take two. This time in English.
Pas d'impro. Une discussion avec les artisans du spontané. Juste une discussion, pas d'impro. Idée originale de Frédéric Bambouchi, musique Dominique Hamel.
Vinny Francois, director of the Montreal Improv, teacher and improviser. It's on.
All right.
So last time when we talked, just after leaving, I thought to myself, yeah, we did it in French, but why not do it in English for make our voices heard around the improv planet. Mm-hmm. So, do you think we're gonna talk about the same things, or?
I'm happy to talk about anything.
Perfect. So, for those who didn't listen to the French one because they don't understand or whatever, we already did one podcast in French,
mm-hmm.
Which is clearly my first language, and now we're doing it in English. What is this podcast about? It's about asking ourselves where do we want to go with improv, where we want to scratch and find out new things and explore.
Mm-hmm.
So let's roll.
Yeah.
Where do you want to explore?
Wow. I think what really excites me now is, because I think we talked a little bit about it, and we talked about exploring the theatrical side of mm-hmm. improv. I think I've seen it done in other places where it's very like costumes and sets, and like it's a full like improvised piece of theater. That's really exciting to me. But after we did the last talk, I was also thinking about something else that excites me, and it's teaching new people improv.
Yeah,
I love when
introducing people
who've never set foot on a stage or have like looked at improv, and they're like, "Oh, I can't do that." Like that's my favorite thing to hear in some ways, because then I feel like I take it as a personal challenge. Like,
yeah,
of course you can do this. It's something you do every day.
But one of the best compliments I had was from a guy who said, "Well, it's kind of easy." Yeah, he was really not sure about doing improv, and then he did a workshop with me, and then he was talking to his friends, and he said, "Yeah, well, it's kind of easy. You gotta let it go and just play."
Right.
Yeah, you got it.
The fundamental. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's what we do as little kids, right?
And you've been teaching since.
I was kind of teaching informally in mm-hmm. the first 8 to 10 years, but like in a serious way for about 12 to 13 okay. years now.
And you do workshop also in other countries?
Yeah. So at Impro Montréal, Montreal Improv, we have classes and we teach them.
You have to say both all the time?
I always have to say both all the time. No, I don't. It's one of the joys of
Improvisación de Montreal.
Yeah, if I go to Spain, I have to say it three times. We teach classes here, so I get my hands dirty. I'm teaching all sorts of stuff, and all the way from like level one, I don't know what improv is, I'm scared of the stage, to show me how to do an improvised narrative piece. And then when I travel, one of my favorite things is connecting with the local improv community. Mm-hmm. That's something I can tell we share. Teaching a workshop, I get to see what they're into, what their styles are. And it's not one way for me. Like, I receive as much information as I feel like I'm giving when I'm teaching these workshops.
Yeah. Yeah, when I give workshops elsewhere, I say, I ask questions in the beginning of the workshop, and I ask questions like things that you never done in improv that you would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get, I would like to talk more. And sometimes I get, I would like to improv in water with, you know. Right. So you see, in the 5 minutes beginning the workshop, you can grasp the kind of group you have. And, okay, those guys are want to go deep and want to go boldly go where no one has gone before. And those just want to be on stage. Mm-hmm. Just
feel comfortable.
Yeah, feel comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. And so whenever I go to these places, I always like to get to know them. I get as much out of teaching the workshop as I do as like going out for a drink after the workshop.
Yeah.
And just getting to know them and hanging out with them. It's awesome. Improvisers are a bit of like a fraternity, like as I said in the first mm-hmm. one. We have a similar sensibility, a sensitivity, a way of looking at the world. And even the more you do improv, you approach people in a different way. You're curious, you're listening. Who doesn't like hanging out with good listeners and conversations?
Yeah, and there's also the Applied Improv Network,
mm-hmm.
who is more, axed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Centered.
Yeah, centered on the teachings of improv for better
like therapy.
Yeah,
behavioral and in like business settings. Yeah.
Yeah, and did you ever come across the Applied Improv Network?
Yeah, actually, they had a big world conference
here. Yeah, yeah. Somebody told me just a month ago, and I said, yeah, well, I'm in Montreal. I'd never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. We got invited to play a show there. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
They take improv. I'm more interested in using it on a stage.
Yeah.
And so they take it like off the stage outside, mm-hmm. like in the workplace for therapy, for people to just kind of like life coaching, all sorts of different aspects of it off the stage. That's something that's never particularly interested me other than... as a person, just like, it's fascinating the ways you can apply improv off the stage.
Okay.
And often you'll get people who come to classes, they get really excited about improv and they're like, oh, I can't wait to take this out. Or they'll like, I'll have an insight about one of their coworkers. Like, oh, my coworker always says no to me, like blocking all my ideas. It's like, now I know how to work with this. I didn't even
realize. Yes, and?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're kind of on the same page here about... I share your
okay.
Clairement, je parle mieux français. I share your views on improv and stage, and I want to perform first of all. But I see the way that it can affect people's lives and people who didn't. Some of the person I work with, they think they want to do stage, but
no,
they don't really want to. They just want to be learn the comfortable mm-hmm. talking in front of people.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have a level one class, and people come to take it. I mean, you offer classes too.
Yeah.
You must see the same thing. People come and they're like, "Oh, I like improv," and they want to do it, but they. They don't want to necessarily be a performer, right? It's like, I want to learn to play hockey, but I don't want to go play in the NHL. I just want to play.
I want to practice.
I want to practice. I like watching and like doing it. You know, you play a game of basketball with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I doesn't mean I want to be in the NBA.
Yeah.
But I would still, if I, I want to get better at basketball, I'll take a class, right?
Yeah.
And then some people just... the main reasons I find people take an improv class is some people do want to become a performer, that's true, and some people want to get comfortable on stage or talking in front of people, and some people just want to just push themselves outside of their comfort level, do something they're scared mm-hmm. of, almost like jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah.
If some people are really scared of jumping out of an airplane, like, okay, I'm going to confront this fear, I'm going to jump out of an airplane. Some people, just being on a stage is terrifying.
But it hurts less.
Yeah.
well, if you... if your parachute don't open, it hurts.
Yeah.
But here,
it's not so bad.
Not so bad.
And well, unless you have a bad show, then
it
feels a little
stings,
bit bad.
It stings, but you come
but
out
if
alive.
If your parachute doesn't open, it only hurts for a very small amount of time.
Yeah, and it never hurts again. And where do you want to push your game, teaching game? In the future, do you want to do a level 8. No, I don't know.
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do at the theater is we've introduced a new part to our curriculum, which is called Teamwork and Empathy, and it, which is really directing our students to be more aware of who they're playing with, mm-hmm. And getting like permission to do things. Like, you can do anything and say anything you want in improv, but when you're doing it in improv, you have to do it with somebody.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure they're okay doing what you are doing. Because if you want to just do something on your own, you can do stand-up, you can write, but improv is something collaborative, cooperative.
Well, your character can be disrespectful, but the actor behind has to be
respectful. Yeah. But even if your character is being disrespectful, it has to be done in a way that's still okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you have to be respectful. You have to know that.
I see what you're saying.
The other one is
going to be okay. Yeah. Go along with it. And that's something I think has always been a bit missing from the way we teach improv. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I'm really interested in these days. Is how do we teach people to be respectful of each other? Yeah. Which seems like a weird thing to have to teach, but sometimes people in improv is like, I can do anything I want, total freedom, and then they push themselves into behavior that they probably wouldn't do off the stage.
Yeah.
So it's good to just kind of keep that in mind.
I listened to a teaching podcast, and the question came up a lot about. I have a student who goes into racial slurs or sexism, or and how do I deal with it? And I was kind of shocked because I don't get those things a lot.
Okay.
I don't, and it seems to come back quite often in her the girls' workshop.
We very rarely have it too, but when it does happen, we have to know how to kind of deal with it. And it really is about, like, okay, you want to go here, but does the other person want to go there? Is it something that's comfortable? And are you treating it in a way that isn't gratuitous, right? It's not just for, like, provoking people, because sometimes in improv, definitely you're on stage, and certainly when you're less experienced, you, like, get on stage and you have to have something happen, now. And I just want to provoke someone rather than being patient. And so you go to places, you reach for things. And you're like, well, why did I reach for this? Like, I just I panicked, right?
And you have to be respectful to your partner and the audience.
Absolutely, No one here came. No one came to pay tickets to see someone abuse somebody. That's not entertainment.
Well, maybe there are places where they do,
that's their thing. Yeah.
Respect and
teaching teamwork and empathy. Those are the keywords. But it's interesting to develop. Like, how do you teach it in a way it doesn't feel like, oh, like a preaching? Like, oh, be nice to everybody. You know, don't say this, don't say that.
Yeah.
That it's hard. There's a line, right? You don't want to be like, you can't say any of these things. Like, that's not true either. Like, you have the freedom to play, but just make sure that everybody's on board. And then how do you teach that? How do you teach people to listen to each other and be ready to be receptive to things?
Yeah, because some of the students take all that you say for cash, and they and they go with it, and they, no, you can't say that, and you won't do this, and the rules are so important, that you have to understand the rules and just know when to apply them and when to
they're not rules. I've seen good improv that breaks all of the rules, right?
Absolutely,
they're all tools, they're guides, they're helpful.
Well, like a red light. If there's a baby burning on the other side of the street, who cares about the red light? I'm going, sure. And so, yesterday I did a podcast with Sophie Cadieux, who is not on the podcast is not online yet, but she's an actress from Quebec, and she did a lot of improv in her youth and with La Eleni, but there's a lot of improv in her theater career. And it's more like some would say experimental theater, mm-hmm. but it's improv, because she was talking to me about a scene where a show where she had 7 minutes with one person of the audience at a time.
Mm, that's
and,
awesome.
And the person was coming into, she was in the bathroom and she had to improv with her character and the scene. And I say, I told her, that's improv. That's awesome. And I think that made me realize that the theater community and the improv community do take from each other, but don't really communicate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a bit of a barrier, like, theater people are like, oh, improv, it's
that's
another thing. And the improv community is like, oh, theater, that's a whole this is like a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But they're the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just two different ways of doing theater, really. Yeah. It's even for me, I'm the kind of person who views sports as theater. It's just another another form of theater. It's a show.
Sure.
And there's narrative, there's a villain, there's a good mm-hmm. guy. You know, this coach is doing great, he's a hero.
Yeah.
That coach is terrible, he's a villain. And people get really intensely involved.
We should
in
improv. I had an idea about improvising a show, a baseball show,
mm.
where somebody plays the ball.
Oh, that's amazing!
And then the actor playing the ball would decide of the outcome because.
I love it.
But the other, we'll try it sometime.
Sure.
But yeah, it's drama. It's
there's drama. People get really involved in it. And I feel like that's kind of the goal of any theater, even if comedy, it's the goal to provoke an emotional mm-hmm. response, which is comedy, laughter, and the goal of theater can also be comedy. But it feels like, for whatever reason, improv is like, oh, improv is for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not making people laugh, then it's just theater.
Yeah.
But it's just improv is just a way of doing theater. It's a tool. And it can do everything that theater can do. You can have tragic improv. You can have sexy improv. Like, there's a erotic Jane Austen in Texas. They do an improvised erotic Jane Austen show.
Nice.
And it's fun, but it's also sexy. And it's like, okay, why not? Why can't improv be sexy or sad or, you know, anger provoking?
I have a friend who wants to do improv.
In porno.
But I don't think it will work.
You never know.
You know, my sketchy friend. You say impro.
Well, when I'm talking to you, I'll say impro.
Because
I know impro. Yeah. And in England, UK, it's impro. Because they took it from Keith Johnstone, who said impro. So in like the kind of British Commonwealth, I wonder in Australia, because that's kind of comes from the UK. I don't remember. I think they say impro as well. But America and Canada has come, the people who've been influenced by the United States, it's improv.
But when I say it in English, I say improv because
most people won't know. But when I speak to French people, I'll switch to impro.
But let's talk about that word, because and it will link with the theater things and the legitimacy of improv in the theater world. And because way back when we started the Saint-Place, when we rejected all the match rules and just say, let's do a show. Well, it started when we were practicing together and we said, that's interesting. Why don't we do a show of that?
Yeah.
We were just acting and going scenes from scenes and then we did that show, and when we told our friends, we got an improv show, come and see us, they were asking us, who's the referee, and is there a camp de recrutement? How do you say
camp? Like a lineup and all that stuff.
Yeah, well. And we had to come up with another word, and we started talking about théâtre spontané,
okay.
Spontaneous mm-hmm. theater. And we used it, and now it's being used by others, but it's been used this year by La Eleni.
Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. But, well, and do you have this thing when you want to do something else that is more professional, and then you get stigmatized with I know improv, you know, and right. and scene
right and, yeah for sure. Like if you go to some cities in the States, it'll be like, oh, you do improv, like, oh, how, you know, what kind of heralds do you do?
Yeah,
it's like, okay, well, no, we don't do that. But I think the world is evolving past
yeah,
that
yeah.
point too. I think most people know that there's other stuff out there. We had a tough time coming up with like what do we call what we do here, because it's certainly not match.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about théâtre improvisé, mm-hmm. like improvised theater. And that kind of felt a little too, because already
too pompous.
Yeah, well, people, you know what I mean. Like, improv is too lowbrow, theater is too highbrow. What's the middle ground? So we came up with improvised comedy, like comédie improvisée.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of could be anything, and which is kind of what our mandate is to develop the tool of improv to produce whatever kind of show you want.
But comedy in the.
In the funny the comedy.
Yeah, no, but not in the old word sense where comedy is more of all the aspects of drama.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like in English it doesn't have those connotations. And comedy in French means like a piece of theater that has funny bits in it, and it's funny. In English, comedy just means humor comedy.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any of that.
Or comic, yeah.
Or comic, yeah. So.
But you don't always do comedy.
No, we don't always do comedy here. And in fact, the best shows that we have here are not always funny, because then it's what gives it that weight, that extra. Just a level of realism or grounding, mm-hmm. I guess is what we call it, and that pushes the comedy even higher.
So you could say, come for the comedy, stay for the show.
Yeah, exactly.
And what kind of show do you do that is less
less comedic based, I guess.
Je veux toujours dire axé.
Axé, yeah. I don't know what the translation for that word specific axé is. It doesn't translate. There's no direct axed.
Direct.
Guided by. Mm-hmm. Hey, exciting. the shows that we have, the one that we did last year, I did with Jen Veens, which was I Think We're Lost, which was a little bit more dramatic. And in some cases, we were like couples who were breaking up or people who had a secret crush on each other. And it was meant to be funny, but it also have that extra level of a bit of drama to it. I know there was an improvised Dr. Zhivago. done by Brent Skakford and Kyla Margaret. They're great, and they put on a really fun. It's still a fun show, but it's like an hour of this like Russian misery.
It must have funny parts.
Of course, Well, they're both very funny. Yeah, yeah. Even if they didn't want to be funny, they're pretty funny.
It's a curse.
That's what interests me as well. But even in like a short, five-minute scene, you can have these like touching moments, and mm-hmm. if it ends on something like really sweet or really moving, then great. That's just as good as making people laugh too.
And did you see a show that really moved you? Well, you talked about the couple. The breakup show. Yeah, but a show that moved you when you were, I don't know, in the festival elsewhere.
Definitely. Maybe not in a while. I've seen a lot of comedy lately.
Mm-hmm.
What's something? Oh, so in Austin, Texas, I love those guys, the Hideout Theater and all those other theaters. They have like 4 or 5 theaters in Austin, mm-hmm. Texas. It's like not as big as Montreal, but they have like a million great improv theaters. They do a show called Post Secret.
Okay.
And it's kind of based off this old website where people would write in postcards with like a secret, like I haven't told my husband I'm leaving him or things like that. And they would get people in Austin, Texas to write in their real secrets, like I hate my body because my mom always told me so. And then they'd project the postcard on their stage, and then they'd reenact the scene of like a mother telling her daughter.
Okay.
And it's like, it's really moving. It's hard to watch, but done in like a really sincere and very respectful
yeah.
way, exactly. And when it's, you can tell that kind of material is done respectfully, it's really great. I used to do, you're making me think back to a show that I used to do, one of my favorite moments in improv. I used to do a show called Life Story, where I'd invite somebody on stage with me, and beforehand I would tell them, we're just going to do an hour, you and me, and we're going to talk about your life.
There's a couple of shows like that. I know Keith Johnson has.
So I kind of, his is called Life Game.
Life Game.
So I took hit, but that's like with a director and a whole
cast.
This one's just me and one person. Yeah. So it's basically a 2-person life game.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
And then I invite them to. And so I did it with my brother. And my brother's gay, and my mother is pretty religious, and she doesn't really accept his lifestyle. And so at one point we talked about it on stage, and I had him like say like,
was she in the,
she was not in the crowd, okay. No. But then I had us do a scene where I played him and he played my mom, and I asked him, okay, say all the things you wished our mom would say to you. And then he said all these like wonderful and beautiful things that our mom would never say to him, and it was actually really touching. It was hard for me to keep it together in the middle of the scene.
That is deep. No, but one of my bucket list improv is doing a show with my family, my kids, you know, a dinner show where I go, let's improvise, boys, and they let loose, and we see where it goes.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, I'd love to see something like that.
Or an autofiction with my brother, but they're not actors.
No,
so.
But my brother's not an actor either. But you just kind of, you can create a space where people feel comfortable, right? And as improvisers, that's kind of our job, is to make other people comfortable, even if they're improvisers or not improvisers.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, talk about a thing we talked in the French podcast, but I think here it's even more important to talk about it because it depicts the scenery of improv in Quebec and Montreal.
Sure.
Because in the last podcast, I told you that I asked you, how is it to live in an island? Yeah, well, because you are an English-based improv. Well, you have French improv, but it started in English. And in Quebec, when you talk improv, you talk match.
Mm-hmm.
And the match is everywhere. There's a league on every street. Every night there's at least 3 or 4 shows.
More, it feels like.
In Montreal.
Just in Montreal, yeah.
And you go outside and it's the same thing everywhere. I've been all over Quebec playing matches. But you are more based like American improv, or maybe even
like the
world.
Johnstone.
Johnstone, like Del Close.
Del Close, that kind of.
Yeah, Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah, sure.
And, but you are here.
I live, I'm surrounded by match.
And how do you manage? How do you... I told you that I wanted to build that bridge, and I see that you make efforts to build it from your side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the French community don't even know.
No.
Well, most of them don't even know that improv exists outside the match. That improv exists in other language, but they think it's the match.
That's the match, right?
That improv existed before the match, and that now I see the French population going nuts with bringing in English
stuff, yeah?
And Estonian, whatever,
yeah.
And we are here, keep playing the match or doing. It's a new show. It's kind of like the match, but in we're not four, we're
right.
three, and
right.
there's no referee. There's blah blah blah, and yeah. So, did you play the match?
So I went to school here, and when I went to elementary school here, we do improv. So I
yeah.
went to a French school for elementary, and we did improv in class. Like when I go outside of Quebec and I tell people, like, oh yeah, we have an improv community. It's like a few hundred people, and then I say, but that's only in English. In French, it's the whole pro. Like everybody
yeah,
knows
yeah.
what improv. Because you go outside of Quebec and people are like, oh, improv. It's this tiny niche thing
yeah.
That only some people, and it's kind of getting popularity now and becoming a more mainstream.
Yeah.
Like you know, Will Ferrell and Tina Fey. They always talk about their improv route. So people are like, oh, I want to be a comedy Hollywood actor. I know about
yeah.
improv. I'll take an improv class. But for most people, I think outside of improv is a means to a different end.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to take improv so I can go do, I can write for TV or
yeah.
I can act in a movie. And so here I did a little bit of match improv in elementary school, just like as every elementary school. And I tell people that we have it in high school and there are teams and in Cégep
yeah.
and universities and they all have these leagues and there's like, this was televised that
yeah.
people's minds explode because they can't conceive of a society that
yeah.
has embraced improv
yeah,
the way
yeah.
Quebec has. And yeah, it's for me, it's magical watching, having grown up here and having seen so much improv. But I didn't get to see a lot of it in English. And when I was coming up, there was just one group that did improv in English. It was On the Spot. And those guys were like, oh, I had no idea this was happening here in Montreal. And they came out of the McGill Improv Club. And I have no idea how that even started. Probably from some Keith Johnstone stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they were doing like cabaret style, short form.
Yeah.
And I went to see them. I was like, oh, this is amazing. How do I do that? And I found out McGill had a club, and that's how I got involved. And so I started going to those weekly meetings, and I was like, this is incredible. But we didn't... This is like just at the beginning of the internet. There's no
yeah.
exercises. We didn't know any other improv community, so there's no teachers to come in. And we just kind of figured out on our own how to
yeah.
do improv. That wasn't match, because we could see match. And sometimes we do kind of match-like stuff, but most of our stuff was short-form cabaret.
Yeah.
And that was fun, and that's what we did for like 8-10 years. And eventually, we're like, as the world of improv got bigger and we heard more and more about it, we
yeah.
kind of started pulling from outside. Because there's almost no point of us doing matches, so much match in improv in Montreal.
I don't see a point me doing matches. Well, I do matches with the company who invented it.
Right.
So that's
plenty.
Covered.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
plenty.
So I won't go...
Where else is there to
yeah.
go after that, right?
I what will I do with my company? I do other things.
Thanks.
I
right.
will, yeah.
I mean, there's only so many cars that need to be sold.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
what's it was like, all right, let's try something else. And so we wanted to try something else. And so on the English side, we... There certainly is an appeal for match because in the English community, it's not very well known
yeah,
at
yeah.
all. When you talk about improv in English, you're like, match? What's that? It's like, oh. And he's like, oh, it's like theater sports because that's the closest kind of... And they're very similarly related. When I talk about match to people outside of Montreal or Quebec, I say, oh, match improv. It's like theater sports plus hockey because it's got
yeah,
like
yeah.
three periods, a referee, and,
yeah.
da, 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 and this is voting. Theater sports and that, they're very similar. And they have the same kind of feel with the
mm-hmm.
audience, you know, getting involved, throwing things. And like it's they come out of the same tradition.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy for me to explain to some people what match is. But then it's hard for me to explain how integrated into the society and the culture improv is in Quebec. Because it's huge. It's like, no, there's a star system. There's like people go on to like do other things.
Yeah.
And become movie stars and all
mm-hmm.
sorts of stuff. It's so intense. And outside of Quebec, it's like, oh, I do improv. Like, I got paid to teach a workshop.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's as high a level as you can get
yeah.
almost. So it's a very different world and culture.
But maybe... Yeah, we should do a match tournament in Boston.
Yeah, sure.
Where we introduce them to Match, and here you do a festival, but I'm working on it right now on doing one in Abitibi.
Okay.
Where
there's no Match.
There's a lot of Match.
Oh.
There's all kinds of leagues over there, but they're starting to grow out of the shell.
Okay.
And I would really love to do a festival there where people from all over the world come to show what improv can be.
Yeah, that's amazing. When I was just in Paris to teach and perform, mm-hmm. and I remember going there years ago, and there'd be a few little pockets of not Match, but it was like, you talk improv, it's Match.
Yeah.
I remember a lot, like probably like 9 years ago, I went to Antwerp in Belgium, mm-hmm. and they were doing Match improv because they had, you know, paid for the license for to do league stuff, and it was really cool. But then they'd be asking me questions like, oh, you're from Quebec, like, what's a caucus? What is that? And they're like, why are there three periods? And like, what's with the referee's shirt? What's that about? I was like, no, that's a referee. Because in Europe, that's not what a referee wears.
Yeah,
it's all black, right? And so they're asking me all these questions. I was like, well, why are you doing it? Like, are you just like going through the motions of like building? Like, if I do this and I do this and I do this, then I do improv without realizing like where it comes from or what the tradition is. And it's fascinating.
I've seen people from Reunion Island play it in 97.
Okay.
I played with them.
Wow.
And they it was alien to them. Just, we're used to playing sand and we don't have an ice rink, but we have ropes.
More like a beach volleyball.
Yeah. So they played it, but they didn't know where it came from.
Right.
And in France, sometimes we meet leagues where they stick more to the rules than we do.
Mm.
They are so clinging to those rules. You can't go outside of this and you cannot do that. And can I do a story? Yeah. And they're too stiff.
There's a saying in English, there's no one more passionate than a convert.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you someone who like is like comes to it after,
mm-hmm.
It's like even more like rigid about the adherence.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That's true. True words. So what is in motion to bridge that gap?
Well, I mean, here at the theater, we teach in English and in French. We have shows in English and in French.
But you have a lot of French from France.
Yes. Well, the thing is, when people come to do improv in Quebec, nobody needs to look up where to do improv, right? They know have like five. Everybody has five friends who do improv. It's like, oh, there's a camp de recrutement. I'm just gonna go to that or take a class with, you know. So people in Quebec and Montreal, they don't look for anywhere to do improv. They just talk to a friend, like, oh, there's a con, go for that. So the people who move here from France, they don't know all the leagues. So they go on their internet and they go, Impro, Montréal, and then they find us. And so the majority of people that kind of come to us in French are from France or from French-speaking countries. But we do have local Montrealers community. But it's very funny to hear the accents on stage. It's pretty awesome.
There's a lot of there's a big French community here. From France. Who really likes improv. They go to see shows. They want to do workshops. They want to do. They really follow whatever we do, and that's kind of great.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah, they want.
So as someone from the industry, what is someone who doesn't really do improv? What's like their path into improv? Like, what is, like, I know that there are things around, but the average person who's grew up in Montreal, they went to, you know, Ecole Secondaire, they went to Cégep, they went to university.
Yeah.
And maybe they got involved in their local improv scene, but maybe they didn't. Like, do the leagues have, like, schools or their classes that are offered? Do you just show up to the con and hope you do okay?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because the mentality here is improv, you've been doing it all your life,
right,
or not. And sometimes you come in late, but you find your way in. But it's so the people know each other, and it's comment dire very
tu peux dire en français?
Ouais, c'est kind of a closed circuit.
Okay. And if insular.
Yeah, and when you want to go in, it's hard.
Hard to break in.
And I know that there's a well. You teach classes here, I do, and there's Roberto who does, and sometimes they go in those classes and hoping that they would get in a league, but it's not only the leagues don't that's my way to see it, but they don't only they're not looking out for talents. They're looking out for talents and friends and buddies. So if you know someone you played with in CGEP or Secondaire, and then you say, oh, man, I know this guy. He would be great for our league. But when you see someone new arrive, he's got to be really
so
good.
Right.
To get in.
Hmm.
And that's kind
but
of
I
hard.
Feel like that's...
But
that's universal a little bit.
Yeah, well,
To some degree, as I go around the world and talk to people, like I hear some of them. I even hear some of the things that Impro Montreal. We've only been around 10 years, but then it's like, oh, you know, it's kind of like who you know and not necessarily what you know. And I think there's something in human nature that makes it that people kind of make it.
Les affinités.
Yeah, that affinity for the people who are like, I want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I get it. Like, you're going to be working with these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be someone you also want to hang out
with.
But I think as a community, we have to worry about the development of everybody.
That's why we're doing a show I told you about this autumn in the Atomic Cafe. Each week we'll be playing just to get... it's more like... we call it dojo. So it's a training in front of people. Training in front of people. And the first 45 minutes will be with some of the students who came... I think you do this here.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and because I said to myself, I'm teaching all of those people, and I know some of them don't want to play, but some of them do want to play, and they gonna get hurt by doing a camp and not being choose because someone else is a friend and someone else was in the circle. Mm-hmm. And so... why not give them a way to play in front of people just for fun and also sharing stage with, I'm doing air quotes, pros.
Right.
With people who
have that experience.
Have this experience for 20 years or whatever, and just give them that chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I... so that's why I'm developing now.
That's great, yeah. Right. And I think it's important that we have to have everybody developing together. Like it has to be. I think for me, the theater is not just I want to put on good shows with like really great players. But part of our mandate is also the school and to build a community around that. And for me, the improv scene is only as healthy as the people who feel welcome into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want people to feel like they have a place, they have a space. It's hard to do because there's always people who want to just be a social club and not do any of the the hard work of getting better, and then they're just like, they just want to hang out, and that's totally cool, and that's one way of interacting. And the people take it really seriously and they're like, I just want to do good shows and fill up the theater and kill every time, and like that's great too. There should be space for both of these people.
So you're saying respect for all.
Respect for all. World peace in our time through improv.
Thanks, François. Vinny?
Yeah.
Vinny, François. Is it French?
It is. It's not my real name. My real name is François Vincent. I was born here in Montreal. My dad's name was Francis Vincent, but because I was born in Montreal, they wanted to kind of honor where I was born, so they call me François Vincent. But everybody called me by my last name.
Okay.
Vincent or Vinny. So eventually I just adopted the name Vinny Francois.
Mind blown.
Yep.
Next podcast, in what language?
Esperanto.
Esperanto. Oh, man. Okay. I'll get my books.
Yeah, an old, dead, invented language. Perfect.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Pas d'impro est une présentation des productions de l'Instable, une compagnie de création dont la mission est de présenter des spectacles de théâtre improvisé et de réfléchir sur la création spontanée. Pour plus d'informations sur nos spectacles en salle, nos formations et notre direction artistique, rendez-vous au www.prodinstable.com.